This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise is due to Allah, the one who sent a prophet designed to be the last messenger and made him a mercy to mankind, appointed by command divine, made his character a sign of his truthfulness and of those who followed him until the end of time. As for what follows, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I, for one, am super excited about Umfest being in Houston, like my beloved Dr. Arsalan just mentioned at the beginning. There's a lot of work that went into Umfest and seeing the beautiful volunteers who put this program together. And I want to thank all of you for being here early for the 10 a.m. session. And I hope, inshallah ta'ala, that we don't leave today except that our sins are forgiven and everything that we hope of this day is actualized. Allahumma ameen. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like you just heard in the intro video, had the most beautiful character. And today, when you look at your program, you know, what is this topic of guided tour? What is it about? It is about every topic or the topics that are mentioned the most in the Quran. And so this is what the purpose of today is that we're going to look at topics, we're going to look at subjects that Allah Azza wa Jal stresses in His final revelation to mankind. And so when you see a topic today, when it is addressed today, whoever is presenting it, pay attention to that. That this is not just a topic that was chosen for no reason. Rather, this was a topic that has been selected because of the fact that Allah Azza wa Jal addresses it again and again. So when Sheikh Sa'ad speaks about taqwa today, the reason why he's speaking about taqwa is because of the fact that it is addressed again and again in the Quran. When Sheikh Waleed speaks about the importance of time, it is because time is being addressed again and again and again in the Quran. This is what Allah Azza wa Jal is underlining. This is what He's stressing for us. And so these topics should be given that importance. And my topic today is the topic of character, because Allah Azza wa Jal stresses character so much in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stresses character so much in the Quran, or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stressed character so much in the Sunnah, that when Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what was the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she gave that brilliant answer that we've all heard before. She said that his character was, it didn't reach Houston yet, his character was the Quran, right? Everybody knows this. And so, this shows us the importance, and this shows us the way that the Prophet ﷺ manifested the character that was taught to him and instructed to him in the Quran. And so we'll be looking at a couple of different verses, inshallah ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jal mentions and pairs with the importance of character. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, he restricted his entire message to one phrase, to one purpose. He says, إِنَّمَا بُعِثْتُ لِيُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. And that's a very powerful statement to make. He says, I was not sent. The only reason why I was sent and I taught for 23 years, the only reason why I migrated from Mecca to Medina, the only reason why I suffered what I suffered, my message, my purpose was to perfect good character. My message was to teach people to be truthful. My message was to teach people to be patient. My message was to teach people to speak good. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran. And so these verses that we hear, this was the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the purpose of him being sent. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also says a number of things with regards to good character. I'm sure you've heard most of it. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, for example, that the closest of you to me on the day of judgment are going to be the people who have good character. And so that in and of itself shows me that on the day of judgment, when I want to be close to Rasulullah, when everyone is going to be racing towards drinking from the pool of Hawd, where he will be waiting for us, the people who will be closest to Rasulullah will be the people who have the best character, the ones who perfect that now. The Prophet says that the thing that enters the most people into paradise are two things, taqwa and good character. And so these, if I'm going to work on anything in my life, if I'm going to make anything my purpose in Ramadan, that I'm going to practice, that I'm going to try to, this is what's going to get me the greatest return on investment. Taqwa and good character. And Allah Azza wa Jal pairs between these two in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah says, race. Race one another towards the forgiveness of your Lord. And a paradise that is equal to the heavens and the earth that has been prepared for the people of taqwa. Well, who are the people of taqwa? He says, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. See, Allah, after he tells us that paradise is for the people of taqwa, he then defines who the people of taqwa are. And I want you to pay attention and notice that the people of taqwa that he's going to define, the description that he's going to give, it's just character. He says, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ. They give when they have and when they don't have. They give in the good times and they give in the bad. They give when their house is filled with food and there's a feast, they invite people over. And when all they've got is a measly half tuna sub from Subway, they're still willing to split it. الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And they repel, they control their anger. They don't unleash it. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And they forgive people. They let things go. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those people who do good. So Allah Azza wa Jal is describing the people of taqwa as people of good character. And many times our challenge is, how do you keep committed to the values that Allah Azza wa Jal loves in a place where those values are not loved, or where those values are not appreciated, or where those values are mocked even? How do you hold on to that? Allah Azza wa Jalla reminds us that that is crucial for us to pay attention to, for us to hold on to, no matter how society goes around you, that you hold on to it. Even if 1,000 people, even if the entire world says to you that this is good and you should practice this and you should enjoy this, if it is something that Allah Azza wa Jalla does not love, then you have to hold on to it, even if it is like holding on to a burning coal. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, قُلْ لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, say, they're not equal. Al-khabith, that which is evil, that which is filthy, and that which is pure. Even though the prevalence of the filthy might please you, it might distract you. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, let not one of you be a yes person. If the people are righteous, then you're righteous. And if the people are evil, then you become evil. Rather be someone that if the people are righteous, you're righteous. And if the people are evil, then you don't oppress. You're good when they're good. And that is something that is a beautiful description that the Prophet ﷺ gives, that you become someone who absorbs all good around you. If there's something that's good, and you see other people doing it, the community practice it, then you practice it with them. But if they practice something that you see to be evil, then you don't practice it. And you hold on to your values. I give you a couple of quick examples. Something that's good and beautiful that I found that people do in the South, but they don't do it in the North, is simply saying hello. So I'm from New York, and I remember in Houston, like getting familiar with Houston, one of the things that just stood out to me was just that when I'm walking down the street, everyone's just making eye contact. And they're saying to you, hello. And in New York, you never make eye contact. And you definitely don't say hello. Because that might be a problem. You know, who are you looking at? Right? But here in Houston, everybody's just like, hi, how are you? Good morning. And I definitely wasn't ready for, how are you, sugar? How are you, honey? How are you, sweetie? It's like, whoa, what's going on here, right? But is that something, I ask you, is that something good that people say hello, or something bad? It's good, right? It's absolutely beautiful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Afshu salam," right? Spread salam, spread greetings of peace. And saying hello is beautiful. It's great. So I, right, then became someone who says hello. Not only that, I went back to New York for Eid, last Eid. And when I went back to New York, I just thought to myself, man, Houston is messing me up. Because I'm walking down the street and I'm saying hello to people. Okay? But then I thought to myself, I made a conscious decision. I said, well, who said that New Yorkers can't say hello? Like, who said that? Okay, yeah, my whole life, that's what I've been socialized to do. But who said that I'm just going to make a commitment, and I said, I'm just going to try it out for 3 days or 4 days, the entire days of Eid. Everywhere that I go, I'm just going to say hello to everybody. But I'm going to do it with confidence, because sometimes people mumble. They say, hello, how are you? No, I'm going to say, hi, how are you? I'm going to make eye contact. I'm going to make it clear that they understand what I'm saying. Good morning, right? And sometimes I was dressed like this. I was walking around and it didn't matter where I was going. Sometimes I was in Manhattan, the Wall Street type. Sometimes I was in New Jersey. I was in Brooklyn, all of these places. And I was saying it to everybody. The only people that I didn't say hello to, I said, I'm not going to say hello to women who are between the ages of 15 and 45. They might interpret it wrong, right? And you know what everybody said back to me? Every single one of them. They all said, hi, how are you? Good morning. And I said, Allahu Akbar. Right? In fact, some people were like, hey, so you guys have a holiday these days, right? Because New York City, for the first time, had public schools off for Eid, last Eid. And so, you know, their kids are off. And so they've heard about this holiday. They've heard that there's a Muslim holiday. That's why their kids are at home for these couple of days. And so it allowed for all of these conversations. And I realized then that why am I allowing for society to dictate to me what is good? Why can't I follow in what is good? And that which is not good that I work to change. Why can't I be a factor, a positive addition to the community that I live in? And that is something beautiful that we can implement. And that leads me to something else, which is a lot of times, even with regards to our good character, we don't allow for our character to shine beyond our borders. And so here at Ilm Fest, we're going to shake hands and we're going to invite people over to food and we're going to do all of these things. We work really hard to make sure our programs in the masjid are spectacular, inviting, welcoming. But do we really work on projecting beyond the masjid, beyond our conferences? And what do I mean by that? You probably are very aware. What are non-Muslims most impressed by when they visit the Muslim world? What do they say? Huh? Very nice. Hospitality. That's what they say. Their hospitality was unbelievable when I went to insert Muslim country here. They were also welcoming. This person invited me to their house and fed me, right? And we say to them, yeah, that's normal. That's what we do. But that's not what we do here. We do it amongst ourselves. I was once at a Dunkin' Donuts a couple years back with a few friends of mine. We're at the Dunkin' Donuts. We're at the cashier. Dressed like this also. And we start, you know, it's time to pay. She rings it up. And then all of a sudden, she's attacked. One person gives a credit card over this guy's shoulder. This person is trying to slick a $20 bill. We're all wrestling in front of her. We're all fighting. And she's overwhelmed. And she goes like this. You guys always do this. Okay? She's like, you guys always do this. And we weren't familiar to that area. So I understood when she says, you guys always do this. She's not talking about us. She's talking about us, right? She's talking about the Muslims. She's like, you guys always do this. Another time, I was with one of my teachers. And we were at another restaurant. And we were in front. And it was time to pay. And we started wrestling in front of her. We're just pushing and pulling. And I'm trying to... And he was a lot bigger and stronger than me. My Sheikh Hafidhullah. And he won. But there was a lady who's behind us in line. And she goes, why don't you pay for me? Okay. So she's like, why don't you pay for me? And I'm like, I lost the battle with him. So I said, yeah, no problem. And she's like, no, I'm just kidding. I'm like, yeah, just kidding. No problem, I got you. And so I pay for her. And we go and we sit down. And of course, after she gets her food, she walks up to us. And she's just so happy, right? She's so thankful. She's so appreciative. Thank you very much. And I was happy because I was dressed like this. I'm thinking to myself, she's seeing a Muslim who's being generous. And generosity is already something that's in us. We all experience it, but we don't make a point to share it with other people. Imagine if people in America, they just knew. They're like, you know what? They can say whatever they say about Muslims, but I've never met people more generous than them. They're always inviting to food. They're always taking care of people. They're so nice. They're so welcoming. And I challenge you today, we're going to be walking up and down the hotel. There are lots of people who are beyond the Ilm Fest community here. And mashallah, many of you are obviously dressed and obviously Muslim, right? Dressed to look obviously Muslim. And so make sure that you say hello. And take advantage of the fact that, alhamdulillah, you live in a community in particular where people are very welcoming and they are very warm and they are very open to having these types of conversations. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the most generous when it came to this. The narration says, Anas radiallahu anhu, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never asked about anything except that he gave it. In fact, a man came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam showed him some sheep that were between two mountains. And he said, "Atajibuk?" He says, "Does this impress you? Do you like it?" And the man said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah." Like, the man was a Muslim. He said, "Yes, Ya Rasulullah. Like, look at all of this wealth, all of these sheep in between two mountains, filling a valley." And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply looks at him and says, "Hiya lak." That's yours. The man's like, "What do you mean it's yours? Are you kidding with me?" He says, "No, it's yours. Take it." And so this man goes back to his community with all of these sheep. And he says, "Ya qawmi aslimu." He's like, "Oh my people, accept Islam. Because I have come to you, Muhammad, yu'ti ata' man la yakhsha al-faqr." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gives the type of giving of a person who fears no poverty. He is impressed by the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him something. But what impressed him was this character of benevolence, this character of generosity, and the fact that it is paired and it is so unique that this man has something in him where he does not fear poverty. Isn't that the way that we're supposed to be designed? That we don't fear poverty because we know that our risk is from Allah Azza wa Jal, and that what I give today, Allah will replace tomorrow. Isn't that what Allah promises and designs and again and again and again? Right? And so the character of a believer is something that is incredibly impressive. But if that person believes, and if that person molds their character, and then if that person allows for that character to shine. I want to just share in the last few minutes that I have, I'm just going to be wrapping up very soon, inshallah ta'ala. I wanted to leave you with a couple of points that we can do, inshallah ta'ala, that we can take advantage of, that will allow us to have stronger character. And number one, and the most important, is always asking Allah. And here's my challenge for you. You're going to be sitting, inshallah ta'ala, all day, listening to lecture upon lecture after lecture, inshallah ta'ala, beautiful lectures, beautiful instructors, beautiful presentations. Sometimes, shaitan will come into your ear, and he will tell you, "You know, that hadith, I know it already. That ayah, I heard it already. This point that he's about to make, or she's about to make, I know that already. I don't really know if I'm benefiting." Right? I don't really know if I'm benefiting. And this could be whether you're at Umfas, or this could be at a lecture, or a khutbah, or a khatira after salah, or something that someone's simply telling you, an advice that two people are giving to one another, right? I'm going to tell you something, inshallah ta'ala, that will change your perspective with regards to any sort of information that you get. And that is, do not ask yourself the question, "Do I know this already?" I don't believe that's the right question to ask. You should ask yourself the question, "Do I do this already? Do I do this already?" And then if that's the question that you're asking, even if it becomes something as simple as asking Allah for good character, you're like, "Wow, I came all the way up here for this brother to tell me to ask Allah for good character." Then ask yourself the question, "When was the last time I asked Allah for good character?" That dua that I make, you know, I learned in Sunday school, "Allahumma kama hassanta khalqi fahassin khuluqi," right? When was the last time I said it? When was the last time I asked Allah for patience? When was the last time I asked Allah Azza wa Jalla for tawakkul? When was the last time I asked Allah generosity? "Ya Rab, just make me more generous. I want to be able to give. I want to not fear poverty. Make me more courageous. When was the last time I asked Allah for these things? Allahumma ahdina ila ahsani al-akhlaq. La yahdi ila ahsaniha illa ant. Oh Allah, guide us to the best of character. No one guides to the best of character except for you." And then if that's the question that you're asking yourself throughout every presentation, and inshallah, everything that you ever hear, you will always find benefit, because at the very least, it will be a reminder to do something that you've forgotten to do over a period of time. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "Wadhakkir fa inna dhikra tanfa'ul mu'minin." Allah says remind, because reminding benefits the believer. They always find something to benefit from. Number two is reflecting over qualities of goodness when you read them in the Quran this Ramadan. Every single verse in the Quran, the first person that it addresses is you. That you look at this Quran like, this is Allah's revelation to me. And so every single verse, where do I fall with regards to this verse? When Allah Azza wa Jalla says, "وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا." When Allah describes who the righteous are, who his servants are of Ar-Rahman. And he says, they are the ones who walk upon this earth in humility. Am I somebody who walks humbly on this earth? Am I someone who doesn't carry an ego around? Am I somebody who's willing to sit on the chair or sit on the floor? Or am I someone who carries themselves like that? Where do I fall with regards to that? وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. And if I'm spoken to ignorantly, as all of us experience, especially on social media, someone who doesn't know you says something about you, or someone who knows you says something hurtful or something that is wrong. Am I someone who's able to let it go? Or do I have to refute them? Or do I have to make them pay? Or do I have to plot against them? Or can we never be friends again? قَالُوا سَلَامًا. Where do I fall with regards to these verses? When you're reading the Quran this Ramadan, look at the characteristics that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions of the people that He loves. He loves the sabirin. He loves the muttaqeen. Where do I fall with regards to these aspects that Allah Azza wa Jalla loves? Reading the Quran, inshallah ta'ala, where you are engaging the Quran, you're asking yourself, where am I with regards to this verse? Inshallah ta'ala, is a great experience. And then the third is encouraging each other to character. Encouraging each other to character. Not just leading by example is beautiful and it's necessary and it's good. But also important is for me to say, hey, my brother, my sister, I would love to see you do this. Don't forget this. Don't forget that. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. They enjoin each other to truth. I remind you about what the truth is, and I remind you to be patient. I'm reminding you of a characteristic that you should have. And Luqman, of course, you remember the advice that he gave to his son. He's enjoining him of character. He's teaching him. And this is a parent having this conversation with their child, but also the child having that conversation with their parent, us as a community having that conversation with each other. Luqman, he says, يَا بُنَيَّ أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَانْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. He says, oh my son, command the good and forbid the evil. Establish the prayer, command the good, forbid the evil, and be patient as to what you experience of harm. That is from the issues that require great determination. And he says, وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. He says, and do not turn your cheek in contempt towards people, and do not walk through the earth extravagantly, arrogantly. Indeed, Allah does not love those who are self-deluded and boastful. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيدِ. And be moderate in your pace and lower your voice. Indeed, the most disagreeable of sounds is the braying of donkeys. It is beautiful when a person is sharing advice with each other. And I want to actually just conclude with one of my favorite pieces of English literature, British literature. And that's a poem that's all advice that was given by Rudyard Kipling. You've probably heard it already. It's called If. And he's basically telling his son, and I don't know if he got this idea from the story of Luqman, Allah knows best, but advice that he's giving to his son. And he's telling them that if you do this, you will be a man. You will be a man. But it's so beautiful. I'm just going to read you. It's a short poem. He says, if you can keep your head about you while everyone else is losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when everyone doubts you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, and being lied about, don't deal with lies. Or being hated, don't give way to hating. And nor look too good, nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master. If you can think but not make thoughts your aim. If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat both imposters just the same. If you can bear to see the truth you've spoken twisted by knaves to make a plot for fools, and see everything you've given your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. If you can make a heap of all your winnings and risk it all in one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you except the will that says hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue and walk with kings, nor lose the common touch, if neither foe nor loving friend can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds of long distance run, yours is the world and everything that's in it. And what's more, you'll be a man, my son. JazakumAllah khair wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.